Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, December 6, 2020. I'm Larry Rhodes, or Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
I'm actually writing a musical for 2020. It's called Conspiracy, and the first song is Conspiracy. I'm working on the rest of the lyrics.
Yeah, but we're gonna okay. Need some work. Anyway, welcome to the show. We have Doubtfire, or Scott. Welcome. We have usual George with us today. Hello, George. And we also have the publications director from the Atheist Alliance International, John Richards. Welcome to the show. You're a special guest today. We're going to be asking you a lot of questions about the Atheist Alliance. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. Cool. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstitions. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll show you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Also, did you know that there's a streaming atheist call-in video show broadcasting here in Knoxville? Been on TV for like 10 years now. Did you know that, Wombat?
I mean, it's crazy because they always play it on mute when I'm in the gym. And I don't understand why they do that, but I guess Alex Trebek isn't on the show anymore and they have like old contestants doing the hosting now. So I'm looking forward to seeing who they're going to get as the new host and cross my fingers.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it's
going to
be Wayne Brady.
Too, but
let's go,
Alex Trebek.
Wayne Brady.
Not
you got to answer
in
a formal question. Come on. We like questions. Let's go.
4 years. You haven't seen the show yet. Anyway, we'll tell you how you can watch it and maybe even Wombat can watch it later after the mid-show break.
What do you have today, Doubter?
I'd like to welcome John Richards from the Atheist Alliance International. Would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your organization?
Yeah. Why don't you tell us your life story in like 30 seconds?
Yeah. Go.
I was born at a very early age. Well, thanks for inviting me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here and to tell you about Atheist Alliance International.
Cool.
First of all, I'll give you a brief rundown on myself. I'm a retired science teacher.
Ooh, nice.
And I was lucky enough to be born in Britain, where religion is not so rabid as it is in America. And I chose my parents very well because they were not religious. We only went to church if there was a wedding. They went to a funeral. I didn't get taken as a small boy to the funerals. But apart from that, I didn't meet religion until I went to school when, as you may know, it's compulsory in this country. We're not a secular nation, oddly. It's compulsory to have an assembly in the morning, which is Anglican, that variety of Christianity. Uh-huh. And that involved a hymn, a reading, and the Lord's Prayer before the notices. Now, that was back then when I was at school. Since then, most schools have dropped that activity. Mm. It's illegal, but they flout the law. So we don't, if you go to school now, you don't get have a morning assembly, a religious morning assembly fausted on you. As happened to me. Anyway, it didn't make any impression. And when I went to secondary school, I fell in love with science. I became a science teacher. And here I am, the end of my life, retired, and able to devote all my time to my mission of, I regard it as teaching science, rationalism, critical thinking, which, of course, is contrary to religious beliefs. Now,
that's one.
Atheist Alliance International is an organization. It's a registered charity, registered in California. And that was 30 years ago. Coming up this next October, that will be our 30th anniversary. and we're planning a big bash.
Nice.
I can tell you a bit about that.
Mind if I chip in real quick? I think that was an excellent introduction. I feel remiss if we didn't take a moment to introduce ourselves too, and that way we like all know ourselves around the room. I'll do mine real quick, then I'll go to Scott, and then George, and then Larry. You can follow up. I'm sure you guys are friends already. But I'm Dr. Wells. I got my degree in biochemistry, and I work in filtration science. And I've done science for like my entire life and my career. I love it too. Never had compulsory school religion. That sucks. I would fall asleep twice.
I could tell you some funny stories about that.
Oh man, but I did. I was religious all the way until college. So it took me a while before I realized, this is going to work. And I'm sure we'll get into it more. Scott, why don't you give us a little intro on you?
Yeah. So I was born in Florida, in Tallahassee, Florida, on that side of Florida. I didn't grow up in a really super religious home, but I discovered religion probably around 19, 20, 21 years old, and became heavily involved in Jehovah's Witnesses and moved up in the ranks with that particular religion. Had a lot of responsibilities at that congregation, learned a lot about it, became very zealous into that religion, and then found my way out of it probably around my mid to late 20s. And I've then went into atheism, and ever since I've just been looking back. Professionally, I'm in the IT world and
nice.
Doing that kind of stuff. But yeah, as far as philosophy, I'm probably more described as an agnostic atheist right now. Yeah.
Same here. I would also say one cool thing. It's nice that you jumped from Jehovah's Witness directly to atheism rather than the peg. What's the right word for it? Plinko. Yeah. Plinkoing your way to atheism, where it's like, well, I did some spiritual Hinduism, then I tried deep state meditation, then crystal theory, and then finally atheism. Like, get rid of it all.
You forgot Buddhism. It's always in there.
Sometimes it sneaks in, right? Yeah. George, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I won't take much time except to start by saying that I was, I'm an organic atheist. What I mean by that is that I was born into an atheist family. And my parents were humanists, I would say. And my father has attended humanist lectures at various places all his life, and yet he was not a militant atheist. My mother was militant about stuff. She was not militant about her atheism. So for me, the whole experience has just been pretty nonchalant. You know, I've not had a religion to throw off. I have not had to fight with the demons in my head that were placed there from an early age. I just haven't had that.
Larry, why introduce yourself just to the audience again?
Well, I'm the founder and past president of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. I've been an atheist for 50 years in the closet as an atheist for 30, and then finally came out after 9/11. 9/11 was a pivotal issue for me. I mean, here were religious people attacking our country, and the response generally was from a religious standpoint. One thing you may not eat, both of you remember, but I'm old enough to remember the prayers in school when I was a kid. I was born in 1950, and we had assemblies. And every time we had assemblies, as a matter of fact, homeroom, we had prayers.
Wow.
That was eventually outlawed, I believe it was in the 60s. Madeline Murray O'Hare took it to the Supreme Court and got it thrown out. So no more prayers in school. From the authority figure, you can't have state-sponsored prayer. Of course, you can have assemblies with prayer. You can meet at the flagpole and have prayer. I mean, there's an old saying says, as long as there are tests in school, there will be prayer.
But that's good. That's good. That's good. It's also true.
You can't take prayer out of school.
Oh, man. When did I stop praying before a test? That even took me a while. That was the hardest thing for me to give up. But yeah, it's totally true.
John, getting back to you, can you tell us a little bit about the Atheist Alliance? What the heck is that? And what do they do?
One of the things I could do, which might be the easiest way to talk you through it, is to screen share the website. Can I do that?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
And while he's doing that, I can describe it for our podcast listeners. So what we're being taken to right now is a website, Atheist Alliance International. And at the front of the page, it's a really, really nice looking website. Red and white themes all across, and shows some of the latest talkers that are speaking at the various events around the world. John, why don't you walk us through it?
Sure. Yeah. Well, as you can see, those of you who are not just on radio, we have a banner which is about ending blasphemy laws, because in northern Nigeria, there's Sharia law, which is technically unconstitutional, since the Constitution of Nigeria, Constitution item number 10, I think it is, says that no state, the country, neither the country nor any state within it, should have any religious connection. Never mind, we have Sharia law in Kano State and other parts of northern Nigeria. And you may remember there was a big outcry in the news a couple of years ago when Muslims captured a school of girls.
Right.
And played off with them.
Remember that?
Yep. Well, the current conflict that we're engaged in is about some victims of blasphemy laws. And those of you who can see, we have Yahya Sharif Aminu, who is a singer-songwriter, and he spouted some lyrics that Muslims took exception to, so he is now in jail, sentenced to death. We also have a young boy who's 13. He had an argument in the playground when he was younger, when he was 10, I think, but they couldn't prosecute him then. And he said some nasty things to about Muhammad or whatever, and he's been sentenced to 10 years in prison with labor.
Wow.
Then we have Mubarak Bala, who was arrested, I think it was on the 28th of April this year. He's the president of the Humanist Association of Nigeria. And up until quite recently, he hadn't even been charged, just detained. And the law in Nigeria is based on British law, because it was a colony many years ago. The law says he should be charged or released within 48 hours. That hasn't happened. It's, what is it, coming up to 200 days now that he's been imprisoned. His wife had just recently given birth, and she has been deprived of his support all the time that she's been raising this very young baby. We've been, Atheist Alliance International has been supporting the family financially in his absence and campaigning to get him released. So we have lawyers in Nigeria who are working on behalf of all these three individuals. But the problem is bigger than that, because Nigeria is corrupt. So there is no access to proper justice. We've taken them to court several times. And because the judiciary do not wish to be tarred with the brush of atheism, they don't turn up. So a date is set for a hearing, the judge doesn't turn up. Another date is set months ahead, and the defense doesn't turn up. So postponement after postponement goes on. And that's not the only thing that's happening in Nigeria. because in southern Nigeria, we have a governor, devout Christian, who says that he is the Christian representative of his for his state. And he has spent public money building, well, he hasn't got to the building stage yet, but commissioning an international worship center, a huge, extravagant building. I might be able to find a picture of it on this website, if you give me a chance. And he spent public money unconstitutionally buying the land, clearing the land, and having the building designed. He's done a publicity event where he dug the first spade full of dirt. And all of this is completely unconstitutional. No money, no public money should be spent on activities like that. So we're very active in Nigeria combating that. But that's not the only sort of thing we do. You can see lower down the website, we've supported the introduction of an internet cafe in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where they've been pretty much deprived of access to the internet, which, of course, as you know, it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You can access rational information on the internet, but you can also be radicalized too. It depends how you choose.
Right.
And I'm sure there's a Big Brother aspect to it where there's monitoring of which websites you go to or which ISPs are checked over there. Is that would you say that's accurate?
Well, I'm not fully okay with what's going on, fully brought up to speed with what's going on in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So I know that we've funded it, and I'm in communication with the people there who are running it. And the first question I shall ask them is, do they have filters on their internet to prevent that sort of radicalized material getting through? I'd like to play you this little video.
Oh, okay. Listeners, he's going to click a YouTube link, and I guess we're going to watch a video. We'll try to describe it the best we can after the
There's
fact.
An audio to it. So
I hope so.
Listeners will be able to hear.
Okay.
Amina, thank you so much for giving us the interview today.
Can you
tell me what happened to Mubarak on April the
28th? On the 28th of April 2020, I actually talked to my husband, Mubarak, that morning. I got a call from his friend that Mubarak had been arrested and taken to the Kaduna police station. I was surprised. I was like, why? Maybe he'll come back home. Everything's going to be fine.
So, but then, since then, have you been able to speak to him or meet him or speak to him on the phone?
No. Since that day, on the 28th of April, I've neither talked to him, neither have I spoken to him on phone or seen him. No. I tried even reaching out to anyone who has seen him since that day. And nobody has told me anything that they've not seen him until daytime.
Have you been in touch with the police?
The Kano State Police PRO, he said that Mubarak is no longer in their custody. I was like, okay, where is he? I want to talk to him. He was like, he didn't give me a specific answer. He said that for security reasons, he can't tell me where he is. I pleaded that, okay, I have a son. He was sick. My son was actually 6 weeks old when he was taken away. So I said, please, because of my son, let me just speak to him, even if it's a phone call, even if they want to remind him there, let me just talk to him. Let me know that he's fine. He said he had an interview with Mubarak, that Mubarak is fine, that he's going to send the interview to me, that he will call me back. And till now, he has not called me, and I've not heard anything from him again.
Okay, so you had a new baby just a few weeks old when Mubarak was taken away. How have you been coping then, since then?
It has not been easy. It has not been easy for me. It's depressing. I've been going through psychological and emotional trauma since Mubarak was taken away. But I don't even know where he is. I don't know whether he's dead or alive. So for me, as a nursing mother, it's hell for me. I'm confused. I don't even know what to do. I don't know.
So the police haven't allowed Mubarak's lawyers to see him, and they've not charged him with any offence, which by law they're required to do within 48 hours. Mubarak's lawyers have asked the courts to intervene to force the police to comply with the law, but the courts seem to be intentionally dragging things out. What do you say to these people now?
Well, all I want is for me to talk to my husband. That's all I ask for. Let the Nigerian government and the Nigerian police get me a proof of life that my husband is alive. That's all I ask for. That's all. It's not too much to ask. Please, I'm appealing and I'm begging. Let me be sure, because I'm worried here. I'm worried.
Well, obviously, as you can see, the lady didn't want to reveal her face. And the male voice you heard there was our Vice President, Bill Flavel. So that we made that video way back in, I think, about June. But unfortunately, the situation is still the same. Although I think she has been allowed to talk to her husband since then. So, not a happy situation.
Go ahead,
Tarek.
I was saying, overall, yeah, it sounds like there's just a stark lack of the right to be a critical thinker in Nigeria. And there's political, administrative, even police state-esque pressure to keep people from thinking on their own and staying subscribed to the local dogma. And
it is the world's most religious country. 98% of the people there say that religion is important in their lives.
Wow. So we're going to go to a break pretty soon. I just wanted to give a quick update. We're talking with John Richards, representative of Atheist Alliance International. And, we will, have a bunch of fun stuff to talk about later on. Hopefully, talk some about the triumphs and things that we did, as part of this group. And, Larry, go ahead and take us out.
Sure. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hell, hell, I want to go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play. But I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I want to go to hell someday. Oh, hell, I want to go to hell. So I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay. So I can go to hell someday. Ellen's really nice, but she enjoys other ladies. Jackman doesn't mind, and so he's going to Hades. Woody Allen, obviously, cause he's a Jew. Also Princess Di, Mother Teresa too. Washington and Jefferson, and don't forget Lincoln. I can tell you now that their souls are a-sinking. Johnny Depp, because he wears too much eyeliner. And Reese Witherspoon, an overweight Rob Reiner. Hell, hell, I wanna go to hell. It seems a really fun place to play. But I gotta do what's right and do it every day if I wanna go to hell someday. Oh, hell, I wanna go to hell. So I gotta do what mom and dad say. I gotta love my neighbor even if they are gay.
Hello, and welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today, again, is Sunday, December 6, 2020, and let's talk about the Atheist and Free Thought groups that you can join here right in Knoxville. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year. We have over 1,000 members, and you can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you should still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one. Start one. Right. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. go to rationalist.org if you'd like to find out more about them and click on the upcoming events. Earlier in the show, we said we'd talk about Knoxville Atheist Call-In TV show. Well, it's called the Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville, and it's on YouTube now. It used to be on the local access community TV station, but they switched over to video, and you can find it now from anywhere in the world. Go to, if you don't want to search, well, if you want to see some of the archives that they have online, you can search for a Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville, but the older stuff is under Freethought Forum Knoxville. So all of that's available to you. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or this radio show, just come to our ASK page or Rationalist page on Facebook and leave us a note.
Nice.
With us today on the show, we have Doubtfire, George, and John Richards from the Atheist Alliance, which we'll be talking about more post-haste. Yeah.
How can people find you if they're not on Facebook?
Hey, that's a great question.
Well, they can go to KnoxvilleAtheist.org and send us emails that way. You can send an email to askanatheist@KnoxvilleAtheists.org. You can find us that way. Several ways. You can go to YouTube and look for our stuff there.
Leave us a comment. Mm-hmm. Speaking of comments, I wanted to go around and sing our favorite Britain pop standards, because we were doing that from the beginning of the show.
Were we?
And like my favorite English song is London Bridge, which goes, London Bridge is going down, falling down, falling down,
falling down.
London Bridge is falling down. Where is the love?
Where is the love?
Where is the love?
The love. Where's the listener love?
The love. Guys, we're going to go over some comments from last week's episode. Feel free to leave a comment and we'll go over them on the next week's show.
Mm-hmm.
Ecocentric. Oh, by the way, last week's episode was called Jesus Hates Figs, which was all about us ranting about biblical stories that we may have believed or may have just found absurd when we applied just a little bit of critical thought, such to the point where even if we were to take the story as a literal truth, it just makes all the characters in the story look bad. And I don't think there's any better example of that than just Jesus walking down the street being like, I hate this tree. I hate this tree. I hate this tree. And using his magic mental powers to like destroy the trees. I'm like, Jesus, that's people's property. They need food. We're in Mesopotamia, like Bronze Age. Like, we need to eat. Like, that's not a good thing to do. It's like, I don't care. It's I need figs now.
Yeah, we just learned irrigation, you know?
Yeah. It's like we could just knock on his door. He'd probably give us some figs. You're the son of God. It's like, I want that fig from that tree now. It's like, okay. So Ecocentric Homestead says, hey, you know, the thing about people of faith is that they only have faith in their religion. They have no faith in authority telling them that there's a pandemic. They have no faith in medical science. They have no faith in any naturalistic explanations to any phenomenon. So it's selective faith bias towards their own worldview. And I think that's very, very good point. It is essentially just confirmation bias and cherry picking when people say, I'm a person of faith. It's like, well, you only have faith in your God. It's like, that's true. I'm a believer, but I only believe the things I like.
That's cherry picking, not fig picking, of course.
It's fig picking. Thank you. Or it's cherry picking. You're right. You're right. You're right.
But crazy. I think we all do this. Anyway.
True. But I do it under an idea of like, I'm aware that there's multiple things out here and I'm not going to invest my entire dogma on one cherry. Like, I'm aware that there's other cherries.
And atheists draw the line generally at supernatural things.
Yeah.
We're not going to have faith in stuff that have no evidence for at all.
Right, right. Save me your supernatural cherries. I'll have delicious normal ones, please. Crazy Praying Mantis says, figs are delicious. And I agree. They are. Have you guys ever tried an actual fig? They're amazing.
They're good. Fig Newton.
If you like Fig Newtons, you like figs. You've eaten figs before. Mm-hmm. Nathan Matthews, longtime commenter on the show, says, using Socratic examinations, we are a big fan of Socratic examination on this channel, SC. Mm-hmm. Using Socratic examination, you can realize that there isn't evidence to support biblical claims. But for me, the first major step away from religion was after scrutinizing Bible studies or stories. It was easy to see that these morals and role models of the Bible aren't worth following. There's better out there. Jesus, lay off the wine and leave my fig tree alone. I think that was good. Yep. We have a guest, John Richards. He's back with us all the way from England. Or can I ask an ignorant American question? How is Brexit going? Are you guys still a part of Europe? Is it free to call you guys European? Is that not allowed anymore? Is it gray subject? What's going on? Oh, he's covering his face, guys. Yeah. I'll tell you what I do want to delve into. And I'm eventually going to get to Scott's feedback section because I know Scott's got a lot of questions going on. But Atheist Alliance International, why don't you tell us some success stories that have gone on, John? Because I'd be really interested in some positive. Sure.
Can I just do a little bit of screen share before I go on to
you
that?
You know you can totally share that screen. You go for it. Manifest destiny. It's already yours.
Okay. So there we go. Okay. I'm bringing up the world picture of where we have presence, our nice. Affiliates.
We're you all have your chat on there too, by the way.
Go ahead.
Oh, are you this chat?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised he has Apple in England. That's shocking to me. But right. All right. God's like, I like come
Apple.
On.
I've got Apple that. Everything. So look, here we are in Africa. That's our African affiliates.
Nice.
This is our Asian affiliates. There's another list here.
So it's not just Nigeria that you guys have.
No. This is Australasia. We've got representatives there. Europe. Look, these are all our affiliates. Well, they're not all of them because I'm scooting around it. I'm not showing you everybody. Look, we have a worldwide presence. So I just wanted to show that. But now you want me to say something successful. Sure.
Yeah. Let's get a positive story in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's Nigeria related because the governor of the Kano state, where the blasphemers are imprisoned and threatened with death, this particular governor, he's got a lovely name, Abdullahi Umar Ganduja, he has expressed an opinion that he can't wait to sign the death warrant of the singer-songwriter who offended the Muslims. And guess what? East Carolina University offered to honor him by making him a professor, visiting professor, and some other title that he was about to have bestowed upon him. So what did we do? We wrote to the university. We spilled the beans. We told them what sort of a guy he is. And the success is they've withdrawn their offer to the governor.
Okay. Shame. And, you know, I want to just say some cool things about Nigeria, only because there's some family relations that I have there, too. It's on the west side of Africa. It's just below the big hang, but it's like on that west side. There's two main sections, the northern and southern section. Southern section, very, 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 very Christian.
Yep.
Northern side, very, very, very Muslim or Islamic. And what's really interesting is if you go to any place in Africa, it's not just black people. Like, there's ethnic groups that are distinct among everyone, and you can recognize who's who. I've never been there, but like, I've had people tell me, you don't look African. I'm like, yeah, because I got all this mixed up stuff from America. Like, that's what happened here. It's like, I got white people, Indians, all that stuff in me. It's like, but you can tell when you look at a person, like, oh, that guy's Sudanese, that guy's Iwi tribe, that guy's Yoruba. Yes. Like, you can see the different ethnic groups there. Yes. Those groups have gone through a number of turmoils over just even like the last two centuries. Like, you had the slave trade taking away like half the men, and you've had migration that's happened around the 1950s to like 1960s. You've had political upheavals, and then the introduction and indoctrination of religion in two different polarizing points of view in one more or less like country. And now it's just this constant conflict between, if you're here and you're not a Muslim, you're not safe, versus if you're here and you're not Christian, you're not safe, versus if you're here and you're Yoruba, you're not safe, versus if you're here and you migrated here 20 years ago, you're not safe. It's constant conflict. And what that indoctors is an us versus them mentality, where it's like, hey, if you're not Muslim, if you're not following the textbook list of traits that you need to have to be safe in this country, you're in danger. And because we're on this team of, we follow all the rules on this paper. And we do that for our own security. And so the question might be like, why are these Muslims acting so, you know, militantly in like a state police? It's like, that isn't, it's not just them. It's like, if you go to the South, you're going to have the same thing too. It's so wrapped into the idea of what does it take to be safe if I live here and there's no options anywhere else. The GDP for like Nigeria is like in the trillions. Like they're like in the top 20 of GDP.
Really? Wow.
But the per capita is like one of the lowest in the world. Very, very poor people that as a country make a lot of money because the money doesn't go to the people. And so it's this very interesting dichotomy of like poverty, poverty, poverty. But someone's making a profit, and it's the people who are like causing people to fight against each other that are continuing to just churn this really terrible conflict between people. It's a really unfortunate multi-tiered level of mess that's going on there. And what sucks is there's no room for critical. Well, it's hard to take a stance against that as an atheist. It's hard to say, listen, I'm not subscribing to these arbitrary list of rules of thought and these dogmas. This is clearly not benefiting any of us. Let's try to be independent and think for ourselves and, you know, come up with our own rights. We can do this as a system.
In the North, if you come out as a non-believer, you're likely to be stoned to death.
Mm. Yeah, it's very stark.
Of the situation in Nigeria, it is. The mess of all messes.
Yeah, it's a big fiasco, and it's not a simple thing as just, hey man, just give them episodes to the Atheist Experience on YouTube and that'll solve everything. Like, that's not going to solve it. Like, we're talking about political, cultural, on a person-to-person level, like indoctrinated into the system. I once had experiences with Nigerians, and when they found out that I was an atheist, it was like this really bizarre concept for them. Like, the idea of not having religion is like a new thing that a lot of them aren't privy to, because it's just not a safe position to be in. How would you even possibly bridge that kind of gap? And before I drop that all on John, I'm gonna throw out, I'd like to see if anyone want to take a piece of it. We'll try it. Scott first. Scott, I gave you a big problem to solve, but I haven't heard you talk for a while, but it looks like you're getting geared up and ready to answer.
Uh-oh.
It's a complicated mess that's going on in Nigeria right now. Let's say you had all the money in the world, all the leverage and power. How would you even go about fixing it?
Oh, wow. You know, it's so easy to, and it's so cliche to say, oh, they just need education. Oh, they just need exposure. You know, I think in today's world, there's a lot of exposure, but that's not the problem. We kind of spoke about this before, about feelings and, you know, safety, you know, like you were saying, it's heavily indoctrinated. Not sure what the money's going to do to help that situation other than, you know, somehow you could pay to replace leadership. You know, maybe that would be something to do, but I'm not sure how that would even work. Maybe bribe the officials to become more secular minded. Maybe that's what makes them tick. But
they understand bribing, certainly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. My wife is from Kenya, and so she lets me know all the time that's pretty much the rule of law throughout Kenya. And really a lot of countries in Africa is bribing people to do whatever is effective. But I don't really know if that's realistic in this case of what we're talking about. I just don't know enough about it. But it's so complicated, really. Yeah.
There's a lot of hurt there to recover. But I do like the idea of education and exposure. I think if that can help even someone that's just not even trying to get rid of their atheism or their religion, and it's just like, whoa, you just turn on a light that I can't shut off. That could do an amazing thing. And like, let's reinvest some of that money that's going away from the people and put it back into schools, build some new infrastructure, get some engineers there.
But how?
Introduce, huh?
But how? Yeah. I mean, if you Larry, have no it. Control over where the money Show is us. Going and we, being held, to me, Nigeria is kind of like the end game of capitalism. fewer and fewer people have control of more and more of the money until it's just out of circulation for everybody else.
Right.
And the only thing that you can do if the government is complicit with that is have a revolution. Now, yeah. I'm not saying they need to have a violent revolution, but they
He's
need
not
to,
doing a call to action.
That, no, not at all. But I'm just saying the rest of the world, the capitalist countries of the world may very well be heading in that direction.
Yeah.
That, you know, the resources are leaving the people and going and being pooled to fewer and fewer people all over the world.
Right. I was thinking maybe like government sanctions of some sort to say like, hey, listen, if there's not a distribution ratio of XYZ, if like literally all this money is going right up here and when we check one level below that and there's like no money, what's going on? You have a per capita $1,000 per 100 people. Like that's nuts. If you're like a $1 trillion producing country, we aren't supporting this. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you what we've been doing. And incidentally, there was some unrest in Nigeria recently, and the police shot a few people. So that's the problem.
Yeah. When the government is complicit, there's very few recourses that you have.
Yeah.
If you try to rise up, you're going to face violence in return. What's the answer? I don't know.
I can tell you as a black person, even in America, like that is a common narrative that you will face. That there will always be conflict against the status quo, especially if it's a group of people benefiting from the status quo.
Right.
And so the thing is, tends to be the case that violent actions are not the measured intention for people who are trying to highlight problems in a status quo culture. It tends to be the response of when a group gets marginalized to the point where their hurt can no longer be contained within that group and then it's expressed out loud. And so what's unfortunate is...
And have no representation.
And what's unfortunate is, like, you know, that only furthers to muddy the narrative. There have been peaceful means of, like, showing, like, we're distressed, but a lot of people will ignore that. And that's just the reality that we live in. So
what we've been doing...
Go for it, John.
Tackling it from two directions.
Yeah.
We've lawyered up and we're challenging the behavior of the governors in these two states that I mentioned earlier, the Christian and the Muslim states. So we're trying to use their own constitution as one way of getting them to behave. And the other angle is we're trying to set up more and more atheist, they don't like the word, humanist or free-thinking groups from the ground up amongst the population. And we have several now. I can think of three cities in Nigeria where we have an established little atheist group. But also on the internet, we're trying to get, we're trying to give Nigerians an opportunity to express themselves freely. So I'd like to show you another video that's only 1.23 minutes long. Now that's not 1.23, is it? It's 1 minute, 23 seconds.
Okay, go for it. It'll only take him 5 minutes to start the screen share, everybody. Good.
Here we go.
There we go.
Yeah, nice.
What do you think should happen to those who are imprisoned in northern Nigeria on charges of blasphemy?
Each time I think of Mubarak, each time I think of blasphemy laws, each time I think of people being sentenced to death on ridiculous charges, it's painful. It reminds me of Afghanistan. We can see what we can do with lawyers to defend him in court and see if we can get an acquittal.
This is inhumane, and we have to come out in full defense, in full force, in any way we can. It's very important that we, all over the world, it doesn't matter which region you are, come out to fight for the freedom, and the freedom to ask questions. Questions, vital questions that are important for the development of human society.
Well, personally, I think they should be freed immediately. I mean, who exactly have they offended?
Those who have been arrested or detained, like Mubarak Bala, Yahya Sharif, or Umar Farouk, should be set free immediately, unconditionally.
And yeah, I agree. We shouldn't be imprisoning atheists. I would also say this. The reason why I like educating schools is it doesn't change things overnight. But what it does do is foster a hunger for critical thought. And one of the coolest things that I've seen, even when I was at Georgia Tech, was we would have students from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, come over to Atlanta. And Atlanta is a giant melting pot in Georgia. Like, it's no way representative of what life is like in the South. It's just this, it's like basically New York, but hotter, believe it or not, with more humidity. And you will see people who are like, oh man, there's not a lot of other Muslims. There's not a lot of other Pakis. There's not a lot of, but everyone's, even if they're black and or gay or whatever, are all hanging out with each other. I'm going to just hang out with this group. I'm going to know these names. And I still communicate with like a lot of these people from, you know, various different countries as if we're like brothers and sisters. I talk with them sometimes more than my own family members. It's really great to know these people because they inform me on their cultures, but it also informs them of other people's cultures. Yes. Such that when those cultures get demonized, when they go back home, they'll know, oh, but it's not like that because right. I have a friend who's black. I have a friend who's atheist and he makes good points. And if it wasn't for the fact that I have to live here, I'd probably acquiesce more to this guy's point of view. And it just helps to not only modernize their points of view, but also de-radicalize the points of view. And those are people who are ingrained in their culture, who are trusted by their members, who might even be officials, who might be educated and looked up to by the next generation. And these are the figures that are going to help to curb the culture away from this attitude where if you're different from me, you're a problem and you need to go away. It'll be like, you're different from me and that's not as bad because I know what different people are like.
Scott mentioned
people
now. I just wanted to pick up on what Scott mentioned. He said his wife's from Kenya. We have presence in Kenya. We support a Kenyan free thinking group. And we also have a school in Uganda, the country north of Kenya, which we support financially. And it's a humanist school. So we determine the curriculum.
Cool.
I was just going to say that I had a conversation with a Nigerian a few months ago, and we were discussing multiculturalism in America. And he was telling me how, you know, in Nigeria, the economy's bad. There's a lot of division, a lot of problems among people of different, you know, things, whether it's the issue of homosexuality or religion, whatever it is, politics. There's so much tribalism and things of that nature as well. And he was asking me, how is it in America? How do you overcome these type of things in America that Nigeria could learn from? And the answer that I gave him, and we kind of discussed it, was that, you know, everybody benefits in America from diversity. It's our strength. So it's
mutual benefit.
Yeah. So there's a lot of talented gay business owners and people like that, and it would behoove everyone to support these people because it gives people jobs, it gives people good services that they need. And it, you know, the same with religious people. You know, we've got talented people from all walks of life. We all depend on each other, so we have a more symbiotic relationship, and it helps us to be inclusive and want to support each other. So, you know, and maybe that's part of the reason there's so much poverty and division and everything in Nigeria is probably because you're not giving anyone a chance to do anything to help the economy, to help the country, you know.
Well said. Well said. Yeah. The power of mutual benefit is what drives not only just functioning societies, but morality, in my opinion, as well. Like, this benefits everyone if we do this, not just you. Not just that person, but everyone. And that's a great thing to build a society on. It's a great fuel. What do you think, George?
From where I live, from the focus where I live, I think that this aspect of what's great about America, the diversity of our people, and believe me, I think this is the greatness of America. You know, when somebody says make America great again, hey, that's what they're talking about. But this is this is mainly focused, I think, in the cities.
Mm,
and out in the boonies, like where I live, I'm afraid to be different.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Boonies, watch out. The cities are coming for you. It's just going to trickle in everywhere. You can't hide for long. I think the boonies are like the last bastion of like the last bastion for ignorance, the last cheerleaders for. I don't need to know that. It's like where you will eventually. So we're coming for you.
Indeed. And the children get it, you know?
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Especially with the internet. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think I have a lot of faith in young people, and I think that generations before us, free thinkers, let's say, also had a lot of faith in young people, and we are the young people they were having faith in.
Right.
So it keeps progressing, and it's always too slow for us.
Yeah. The other note I like is when something terrible happens, that what used to be a thing that only I would notice is now a thing that everyone's upset about as a country and are vocalizing at the same time too. And that makes me feel like, yes, we are aware that bad things are happening. It's not like they're going away, but now everyone's upset about that. And that's a good thing. And that's a very good thing. And so thank you for continuing to vocalize this thing, even that's going on even in Nigeria, John, because that's so far away from our daily operations. It's an easy thing to ignore or even forget about, but you're constantly reminding us like, no, this is a big deal. It's happening now. And you have some power to change it by making people know. And that's a wonderful thing.
So can I do a promo?
Yeah, go for it. Why don't you promote, and then I'll do a shout out as we head out to the end of the show. Go for it.
Great. So New Year's Eve. 2020 has been what the Queen would call an annus horribilis. And we want to say goodbye to it with a bang and welcome 2021. So we're putting on a show, an online telethon. Do you remember Live Aid?
Yeah. Yes.
We're doing live stream aid.
Oh, cool.
We've got entertainers from pretty much, well, three continents to the moment, but more coming in.
Nice.
And they're going to give their video performances free and come online and chat with me and our co-host. And we have an appeal or several appeals being made at the same time. So it's like Live Aid. It's a mixture, you know, it's entertainment and appeal melded together. And it ends in fireworks on midnight London time.
Wow. Okay. How do we find it?
It's going out. I will send you a link, but it's going out. This is something else that's exciting, on a new service. You know how we've been complaining about Facebook banning people for offending snowflake religious. And so we're setting up an alternative.
Oh, interesting.
It's called Facebook.
Back of Head Book.
John, what I need from you, if you're a central person in this service, is assurance that I will not be surveilled. That is a major concern of mine, and I do not participate in Facebook at all.
Because the government wants to know how many plaid jackets George owns, and he refuses to tell anybody. That's his own information.
On that.
Every single time George is on this channel, he's telling us about his neighbors, his history, his family, the clubs he used to go to. But if the internet figures that out on its own, no go whatsoever. It's like,
so what does the service be called? What is it called?
We respect the data protection laws, which are stronger in this country than they are elsewhere. But of course, we're registered in the US, so we have to go by them. So yes, we have. I can show you, for example. We're running out of time, but
yeah.
Can I come back and I'll show you some more paintings?
Oh, you're welcome on the show. You can come back anytime.
Anytime. John, how can we find out more about your organization for before next week? What can we do to?
I will put the web address in the chat.
Oh, yeah, and you can also say it out loud too.
Yeah, because this is radio.
Okay, excuse me. Atheist
Larry with the very Atheist Alliance. It's atheistalliance.
.org.
.org.
That's A-T-H-E-I-S-T-A-L-L-I-A-N-C-E .org.
Scott, I'm putting you under the fire. What's something that you would recommend we check out this week before next week?
Wow, you know, you always ask me this question, and I always have nothing to say.
Anything, literally anything.
I don't know. Just check me out on my Facebook, man.
Ooh,
you know?
Okay, yeah. Scott Williamson on Facebook?
Scott Williamson at Facebook, man. That's where it's all going down.
That's nice. Hey, my thing I'd recommend...
How do we tell you from all the other Scott Williamsons?
He's the only handsome one. He's the most handsome one.
Handsome guy, you know?
Okay, well, I should have known.
I would recommend you guys check out different accents of Africa because they are very, very different. And I think even in that video, I was getting like, ooh, I know where that guy's from. That guy's not from there. That guy, hell, interesting last name accent combination. The funny moniker to start off with, just to start off with it, is if they're Kenyan, it's a very happy accent. But as you get to like Ethiopia, it gets more tired. So it's like, hey, how you doing? Wow. I'm from Kenya. It's nice. And Ethiopia's like, what? I don't have time to talk to you. It's very different. That's your starting lesson.
High altitude.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there it is. It's all how much tea leaves I've noticed is grown per capita is big.
Well, Swahili is beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. Larry, why don't you take us out? We're at the bottom of the hour.
Excuse me. If you have any questions for the show, as we said earlier, you can send them via email to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheists.org, and we'll answer on future shows. If you're having trouble with scrupulosity or leaving religion and having some emotional or psychological problems from that, I recommend you discover recoveringfromreligion.org. They can help you there. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe to be notified when new episodes are posted. And be sure to visit our home site, which is digitalfreethought.com, for our radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My book is called Atheism, What's It All About? It's available on Amazon. And this has been the Digital Freethought Radio Hour. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next Wednesday. Take care, everybody. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye.
Listening to Digital Freethought Radio Hour. Simply the best.